The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
It is always a pleasure on the KJS Show to bring you the sounds and stories of artists who are not just shaping the present, but also defining the future of jazz. And this Sunday, we're honored to welcome one of the brightest stars on the global scene, 25-year-old Haitian-American baritone whose voice is as rich in depth as it is in vision. Tyrique McDowell is no stranger to acclaim, and in 2023, he won the prestigious Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition, becoming only the second male vocalist in its history to do so. And now he has gifted us with his long-awaited debut album, Open Up Your Senses, a project that is both bold and tender, rooted in a jazz tradition yet expansive in its exploration of spirituality, self-reflection, and social consciousness.
You and I, we seem to know the reason why. So far, it's been quite charming. What's in store? It seems we played this scene before, which makes it less alarming. Name the lights and let's go on pretending that this time it's real.
Tyrique, absolute pleasure to welcome you to the KJS Show and, of course, to our South African audiences who are eager, you know, to open up their senses to your sound.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I want to talk about growing up in Haitian America, you know, and eventually making your way into jazz. Let's reflect on your earliest memory of music and what drew you to, you know, this specific or particular sound.
Surely. So growing up, I was always surrounded by such a diverse array of music. My mother is Haitian and my father's American. So within my household alone, we were listening to Sweet Mickey, Mary J. Blige, Fat Joe, music from around the world and around the diaspora already. My mother's a huge fan of Celia Cruz and Mark Anthony as well, just to add that in there. Yeah, but I would say it's always been the radio. And eventually, when it became my own listening, I got a lot of inspiration from TV and movies, films, television. A show called Little Bill, and within Little Bill, that's set in Philadelphia, which is a huge, quote-unquote, jazz city. And the show is reflective in the score of that. As well as, you know, a lot of the cartoons that we like. You know, if you're familiar with Tom and Jerry, there's a lot of great music in there.
Yeah.
Grew up in Florida, so there's a lot of music from all the Disney films that were coming out as well. Music has always been around me.
And I guess your baritone then also carries such depth, warmth, and power. How did you discover that, actually, I can use this? This is I'm going to shape this into an instrument, my voice. And of course, what did, you know, your Haitian roots play in that journey?
Yeah, as far as my Haitian roots, I'd say that because I come from a diverse background, and I understand where my lineage hails from outside of the U.S., I'd say that it's given me a more critical and a more open ear to sounds from around, you know, not only the African diaspora, but sounds from other cultures in general. You know, I've been so happy to be checking out Afro-Cuban music, Haitian folkloric music, West African folkloric music. I have a great friend, Naledi, who is a wonderful South African vocalist, and she's been showing me and trying to teach me some of the clicking language as well. It's very difficult, but I'd say that is what led me. It made me it gave me bigger ears. That's what my Haitian roots have done. And in terms of I'm learning about my instrument and my baritone voice, it was completely by mistake. I actually had no notion, no no desire to be a singer. It was by mistake. I was a classical percussionist, actually.
Wow.
And I was playing in the pit orchestra for a high school production of Into the Woods.
Mm.
And one of the actors that had played the wolf fell sick for this particular rehearsal. So there was a lot of empty space.
Mm.
So I decided to fill that space since I had studied and I already knew the music. And once I began singing, because the wolf is a baritone part, right? Once I began singing, I noticed that head start turning in the room. My director was shocked. The conductor was shocked. And I didn't know, but the jazz director at the time was in the back of the room and he heard my voice.
Mm.
And then there he asked me to join the jazz band. So from there, it wasn't really my choice as much as it feels like the world chose it for me. That's a funny little story I like to share.
Really incredible story. And you know, speaking of your voice, in 2023, you became the only second male vocalist, you know, to win the prestigious Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition. How did that now affirm, you know, what everybody knew but you?
Wow, how did it affirm it? I would say I'm honored to be considered as part of the continuum, right? Sarah Vaughan is an incredible, for those who might not know, Sarah Vaughan is such a beautifully intelligent, soulful, and expressive musician, full musician, both pianist and vocalist, we often forget, and writer. And, you know, having a competition with her namesake, I'd say that not only kind of creates this mantle and this, for lack of a better word, a path that we need to follow, or model rather, but I think it also lifts up all of us hopeful artists and inspires us to try to walk a similar path and try to achieve greatness at such a high level.
Open up your senses, Tariq. Feels like both an invitation and a challenge, you know. What does open up your senses mean to you? And what do you hope, I guess, the listeners of the project take away from the experience of, you know, listening to that and opening up themselves sensually?
Most definitely. I'd say that it is both. It is both a call and it's a plea. I'd say I invite listeners to open up their senses and to think of not only their own personhood, but their place in the world. And this the music as well, what we like to call jazz music, the place of that in the world and the place of art and the place of our humanity, just trying to think more critically and deeply about the gift that is the life that we have right now. And I think it's also begging the listener to become more conscious of what is right in front of them. You know, we have a lot of challenges happening in the world. There's a lot of war, famine, genocide. All these conflicts have begun to just be endless at the start of the year. Well, I'd say that's the kind of the history of humanity. But I'd say we challenge those notions by trying to reflect inwardly first. Gil Scott Heron had the phrase, "The revolution will not be televised," because the revolution is within your mind. So
yeah.
If you can't open up your senses, how can we change the world? How can we make the world a better, brighter place? If not for others, at least for ourselves.
Absolutely, I totally agree. And I want to stay, you know, on the path of opening up your senses. And you've been quoted to have said that you listened to 5 specific records, you know, as you were getting ready to create the debut. I mean, Pharoah Sanders, Nicholas Payton, Andy Bay, Ori Silver, John Coltrane, and Johnny Hartman. Let's talk about these projects and their influence to your sound, you know, as you were getting ready to share with the world this incredible new debut.
Most definitely, yeah. When it came to putting the repertoire together for this, I felt a significant challenge because a trend that I see with a lot of young, quote-unquote, jazz vocalists is, and that's not to put anyone down, I don't necessarily identify as a jazz vocalist, that's why I put it in quotes, but when I see a lot of other musicians who practice in this idiom, they're often, I think we kind of rely on the songbook very heavily.
Mm.
So we'll do standards. We'll do the Cole Porter. We'll do the Rodgers and Hart. We'll do the Gershwin. That's great. We love that music. But I think that there's other, and I do a few standards on my album just to pay homage to that tradition as well. But I think that there's a whole repertoire that we have already developed, written by the great Pharoah Sanders. Louis Armstrong wrote music. Who else wrote music on that album? Nicholas Payton, so on and so forth. I mean, we have a library that continues to grow as we have more participants and as time and space evolve. And I think with those voices in particular, those are the initial voices that inspired me to study and dedicate my life to this craft of music making, not of jazz, not of swing, but of the art of creating music. And I think all of those folks truly embody that in the most literal sense. And I think they were also, we're talking about Andy Bay, Johnny Hartman, John Coltrane, Nicholas Payton. I think all those folks, Pharoah Sanders, I think all those folks, originals, but they are rooted in their environment. We can't have a Louis Armstrong if there was no New Orleans. We cannot have a same with Nicholas Payton. If there was no Louis and no New Orleans, we can't have Nicholas. If we didn't
That's
have
right.
Funkadelic, if we didn't have Big Spiderbeck, if we didn't have John Coltrane, this is all. I think it's also illuminating the web that is not only the notion of what home is, but the sound of a people and what their homes, how that resonates through time and space.
Covfefe FM. We are in the company of vocalist Tyrique McDowell this Sunday. And he and I, before the music break, were listening to and reflecting, you know, on his beginnings in jazz, including working alongside legends in the jazz world. Now, Tyrique, you've spoken through this album about self-reflection, about, you know, spirituality and social consciousness. Rather than staying with only just romance and balladry, why was it so important for you to explore those themes as well as part of the debut?
I think those themes are also part of the mission of the album, to open up our senses. I find, especially at least state-wise, we often shy away from notions of spirituality. Instead, when it comes to things or thoughts of what spiritualism or what religion could mean, we often weaponize that to subjugate other less fortunate groups of people in the States. It's been used. I mean, the Bible has even been used to validate slavery in the Americas. So I think it's often we have to be critical of not only spirituality in the large sense of what it means to ourselves individually. And if we do claim to be spiritual, then it's, we have to ask ourselves, how do we manifest that? Not only in our lives, but in the way that we treat people, in the way that we create, in the way that we destroy, whether that be a positive destruction or a negative destruction, or for something for the greater good, whatever that might be.
You know, as I'm sitting and listening to you, I'm thinking about, you know, the thoughtful repertoire, you know, and allow me to take you back, you know, from Leon Thomas's The Creator Has a Master Plan to Monk's Ugly Beauty. How did you go about, you know, curating the selection, and what were the stories behind, you know, you making those choices, particularly, you know, with those songs when we go back to, you know, the standards?
Most definitely. I'd say a huge inspiration for this particular album was when I listened to Horace Silver's band The United States of Mind, and he came out with a few albums like Total Response Total Response amongst a lot of those other works. And I thought it was really interesting to hear message music, and in that it's not just, wow, look how incredible Horace Silver was at playing the piano, look how virtuosic he was. It's not just entertainment for entertainment's sake, but it's music with purpose. It's art with purpose. Art's advocacy, in a way. So when it came to selecting a lot of this repertoire, like The Creator Has a Master Plan, I think it's also an act of assuredness. You know, if for those who are believers, it's like, you know, you could trust in God when other things just fall through. And I think for some of this other repertoire, it's also a reflection of their own lives. Thelonious Monk, though he didn't pen the lyrics, he created such a beautiful melody that inspired Mike Farrow, who actually, he emailed me the other day. He was very pleased to have heard that. Mike Farrow penned some beautiful lyrics that Carmen McRae wrote in dedication to Thelonious Monk. So not only did it pay homage to him, but it's also reflecting upon the ancestors' own their own plights and human complications. Like, these were not only great artists, great musicians, and, you know, we like to deify them in a way, idolize them, especially post-death, but they were real human beings who struggled just like we do today. I think it's important to tell stories that we could all resonate with, same whether that be Billy Strayhorn writing Lush Life and knowing that he was gay at 16, or, you know, John Coltrane being inspired by the God and having to write a whole suite, The Love Supreme.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the fact that you went towards the ancestry conversation, because, I mean, the inclusion of Wangolowale, you know, a Haitian chant, feels deeply personal. Can you talk to us about the significance of your heritage, you know, into this debut, and how you see living within the jazz?
Most definitely. I'd say, growing up, I often struggled with my identity, at least feeling equal partation and American, because I grew up in a very small town. It was predominantly white. Though my mother is Haitian and she speaks Creole fluently, I didn't really have the opportunity to have it click with myself. And I think I also shied away from learning my own language because it's not what my peers would speak or understood. They couldn't even point out Haiti on a map if they tried to. But I'd say that this is my attempt of trying to slowly reconnect with that part of my identity so that it may, live on, so that maybe I will have a conversation with my grandchildren in Cleo. I think that would be it would be a really beautiful moment for me, at least in. And I think through music, that's a it's the great it's the I think it's one of the greatest forms of communication, right? Whether you understand it or not, you could feel it. You could feel the spirit of the piece. So
Absolutely.
I think that's my attempt at trying to have that ancestral recall and also trying to cultivate that not only for myself, but for future generations within my own family.
Happiness would reign, and each man knew his worth. In my heart, how I yearn for that spirit's return, and I sigh as time. And rainbows cast a shadow of a love so divine, and the glow of that love like the sky up above, and it's free. Can't you see? Come with me. The Creator has a master plan. Peace and happiness for every man. The Creator has a master plan. Peace and happiness through all the land. The Creator makes for one demand. Peace and happiness through all the land. The Creator. Peace and happiness.
Thank you.
honoring the great lineage of jazz voices as much as you do while pushing into new directions. Tariq, how do you navigate the balance between tradition and innovation?
Hopefully with a lot more skill and tact that that it appears. But when it comes to trying to navigate that, I think that, or I personally believe that this music is so much bigger than any one of us, right? I think that there are definitely elders of the music and there are masters of the music that have a clear and sometimes dogmatic view as to what is and what is not the music. But, you know, I think it has reached so many people so far and so wide that now it can't help but expand in a similar way to, like, we often attribute jazz, so-called jazz, to New Orleans, right? That was an American invention. But we often forget that New Orleans was a port city and was also referred to as the most northern part of the Caribbean. So a lot of these influences from Spain, from France, who was also, you know, trading amongst all those sounds, Trinidad, Cuba, you have all these flavors that kind of melted into, New Orleanians would enjoy this, a gumbo of sound.
Yeah.
And I think that is also what's happening, especially at the advent of new technological advancements. First, it was just being able to record sound onto a record. That's revolutionary. I believe Louis Armstrong was one of the first recorded jazz solos. And that's only gotten wider, especially in the age of streaming and the internet. I think just not only the definition of what this music means to people is evolving, but also the music itself has to evolve as a result. We have some great South African pianists or musicians like Unduduzo Makati that I love and adore, and he understands and pays respect to the form because he has done his due diligence. He understands that it was rooted in America, that you have to come back to the source before you could put your own spin onto things.
That's right. The hashtag is Sundays at Coffee Fee for today's edition of the show. And of course, we get to sit in the company of Tariq McDowell, including listening to some of his music from his debut project, Open Up Your Senses, on today's edition of the show. Of course, talking about the role in jazz, talking about the history of jazz and some of the origins or some of the, you know, nuances and narratives that he and I have been going on about. And I want to talk about, you know, given the themes of social consciousness again in your work, what do you believe Tariq Jazz has to say in the world today, especially to the young audiences?
To reiterate, I don't personally identify as a jazz.
Well,
I do. I don't do that to be an ass or to be complicated, but I say that because I think that we often have a limited viewpoint of not only what this music is, but what its significance could be in this day and age. So some folks say, oh, a jazz show? I don't really know. And they never heard of a John Coltrane. They never heard of a Betty Carter. They never heard the story or understand the significance or the function of this music. And I think because of that alone, it's so much more powerful. And it's actually very powerful today. For some reason, it seems like the whole world is on fire about this music. Yeah. I hear folks from South Africa, so folks from the Netherlands, folks from Cuba, folks from Russia, folks from France. The UK is blowing up right now. I think now the idea and the notion of what art can mean in general is even more. We just see how dire it is to maintain these things that help us maintain our humanity, beauty. Yeah. Art, love, help us reflect upon our own humanity and our own existence, for lack of a better word. I think this and, you know, all forms of music have so much power. Fela Kuti had a quote somewhere along the lines of, you don't mess with the spiritual power of this music, because you'll find its repercussions. And I think we have felt that in the past, but we didn't open up our senses to acknowledge that fact.
And just 25, you know, Tariq, you've achieved so much, but this is just the beginning. You know, what are some of the important lessons on your journey so far? You know,
I think one of the most important lessons that I have is to commune and spend time with elders as much as you can. We've lost so many people, you know, some to tragedy, some to just simply old age, but there's a new generation that is coming, and with that, the world is kind of shedding this older generation. We lost McCoy Tyner, we lost Fred Hargrove, we lost a lot of great and beautiful artists that helped change the whole world. And I'd say that it's important to, and whether it be music or not, just being in community with folks within your age group or not, I think it's really important to try to find an understanding, gain clarity, ask questions about life. And I think through all those, that really allows us to not only build a beautiful world, but appreciate the one that had came before us as well. Yeah, like today I have the great pleasure of performing and having recorded with Kenny Barron, who is undeniably a master of the music. He played with everybody from, Dizzy Gillespie to who am I thinking of? Well, I mean, there's too many to name, firstly. But I mean, I just learned so much about just being a person, being surrounded by great minds like that. And, it's, I'd say that's been a very inspiring moment. These have very inspiring moments for me.
Oh, incredible. And of course, as we wrap things up here, you and I open up your senses is now in the world. What excites you the most, about the future? The stages, the collabos, you mentioned Kenny Barron, the sounds that you're eager to explore next. Maybe let's talk about that.
Wow, sounds that I'm trying to explore next. Yes. I'm very excited for the future, and in fact, I'm actually beginning to work on my second album already. I'm glad that this first one's out because, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I mean, if I could do it again, I think that's what album two would sound like. If I could, if I had more to say, if I had more of myself, my own compositions, some covers and new perspectives. I guess something that I'd like to do is trying to marry the worlds that I love so much. So I love the music of the past, music of Duke Ellington, everyone in the 1920s, 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all these times before I was even born. I love all these sounds, and it's so great to hear about what life was like back then, because that world doesn't exist. The New York prior to the pandemic is not the same. So I could only imagine what that's like musically. But now I want to join that with what's happening today. And I love to quote all these folks because they inspire me. Nina Simone said, "My duty as an artist is to reflect the times." So that's what I'd love to do. I'd love to reflect times both sonically and what's happening. Like I can't. I'm a child of the 2000s, so I love. I love. Who am I thinking of? Oh goodness, he's like one of my favorite writers. Well, I love everybody today, and I like what Tyla's doing. She's great. Tyla's great. Tems is great. I can't ignore that there's this beautiful, like, Africa is becoming popular on the main stage once again. And I would love to be a part of that conversation. I did a little bit with Wongolo Wale and inviting Weedie Burman in there, but I'd love to maybe collaborate with some folks of the continent, of the mother continent, while also incorporating sounds of what's happening in America today. We love hip hop, trap, jazz, all these black art forms, all these black rhythms. That is something that I'm looking forward to in the future, and I hope you guys will join me on the journey.
Certainly we will, and we look forward to hearing that melting pot of incredible, fusions of things. I really am celebrating, the kind of direction that you're going in, Tariq. And of course, what a gift you have been to share this conversation with us. Open up your senses, of course, is more than just a debut. It's a body of work that calls us to listen more deeply and of course reflect more fully and connect spiritually through jazz and of course K-Jazz Show. I encourage you to seek out the project, you know, to open up your senses to the voice of a young master in the making and to follow the journey of this extraordinary artist as he takes you on a sensory, you know, sensory travel, I'll call it that. Of course, Tariq, thank you so much for joining us on the K-Jazz Show, and we look forward to seeing your star rise even higher and, of course, welcoming you to one day, welcoming you to South Africa.
Most definitely. I'd love nothing. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a pleasure.
A pleasure is always ours. Of course, he's vocalist from Florida, now based in New York City. His name is Tariq McDowell, and he was on the K-Jazz Show.